This is Phil Farrand.
One moment. I'm just getting this set up. I'll explain in a minute. And I am driving home. Okay, good. We're good to go. All right. Got the brakes fixed. Da-da-da-da. Well, actually, I didn't get the brakes fixed. I tried to get the brakes fixed. I'm so confused. By the way, it's Friday today. I forgot to bring my recorder in yesterday to work, and it's, ooh, that didn't sound good. Something moved around it back. It's Friday today at like 3 p.m., and I have not, well, that's not true. I've written about three sentences today. I was going to say I haven't written anything today, but I'm going home to get that done now. More on that in a minute. Anyways, I finally decided, I took my car to Walmart for an oil change and to rotate the tires, and the technician, when she drove my car out, said, yeah, your brakes are a little soft. I said, yeah, I know, I need to get the brakes fixed. So I decided, you know what? I've got a doctor's appointment, an intake doctor's appointment, because my beloved wants me to get a colonoscopy, and I didn't have a primary physician, so I had to get a recommendation, so blah, 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 blah. Anyways, so I'm in with a new doctor, a lady doctor. She's fun. I enjoy her a lot. That appointment was this morning at 7:20. So our music minister, the husband in the music minister couple that we have, real sweet couple, great, great music ministers. He was kind enough. We were going to have breakfast anyways this morning. And so he was kind enough to say that he would pick me up at the mechanics, we'd go to breakfast, and then he'd take me over to my mom and dad's house, and then I could get all the errands run for them this morning. So, but one thing led to another, and there were many things to do today, and then my car was done, and then my son-in-law just came and picked me up at my parents' and drove me back over to the car place. So now I have my car back! And after all that, I'm going to see if maybe, you got it. I was waiting for a guy to turn left here. After all of that, because my brakes are squeak, you know, they're doing all that kind of stuff. Got my car in, and they said, no, your brakes are fine. It's like, what? What makes this even more interesting is that apparently the person who had the car before me put some kind of high-powered special brake pads on this car. And so when I took it in for my first brake change, which would have been like 20, 30,000 miles after I got the car, the guy was like, oh yeah, I can get you replacement pads for that. And I thought, what? I didn't buy those pads. But he, no, they're this is a really expensive, high lifetime warranty, blah, blah, blah. I can get you pads for that. Okay. So he went ahead and got those brake pads and put them on them. And that was like 100,000 miles ago. I'm thinking, this can't be right. So every time my brakes start squeaking, I think, I must need a brake job. And so finally, because I mentioned it on the podcast about 2 or 3 months ago, so finally I got scheduled up and got it down there, and nope, you don't need brake pads, but your wheel bearing is bad on the right side, and your left back, the wheel assembly needs to be changed. Okay, so they took care of that, so my little buggy is back in shape. I love this little car. This car, I crossed, well, I said it last week, crossed 180,000 miles on this car. So it's good. It's a good car. Now I have 180,230. So it's a good car. And now I'm established with the doctor. Gonna get a colonoscopy. Yay! And got that stuff out of the way, so that was good. Got grocery shopping done. Got my parents' grocery shopping done. Trying to get another computer set up for my dad, because his old computer on XP is just old. Things don't work on it anymore. And so this is gonna be an adventure, trying to get him cut over to another computer. But I bought an adapter. The adapter didn't work, so I got to take it home, do some stuff on it. We'll get it figured out. It will be fine. Writing is still going along. I've taken a hit this week on the page count because I had like 3 days in a row where there were other things that had to get done on those days. And normally, if I just have 1 day or 2 days like that, you know, it's fine. I can get caught up in the other stuff. But at this point, I think I'm down about 1,500 words of where I should be, I think. Because I should be at 1,400 words. I should be at 6,000 words at this point. At this morning, I should say. This morning, I should be at 6,000 words. But I wasn't at 6,000 words this morning. I was only at 4,600 words this morning, which means I was 1,400 words down this morning, and today I was supposed to get 1,500 words down, which it would have been done by now, but of course it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I really haven't even gotten started. However, my wife has gone to Tulsa to see her best friend, so that opens up the whole evening for me. So theoretically, I need to clock about 2,700 words between now and the time I go to bed. But I'm in a good section. Well, it's a good section and it's a hard section because it has to be written just right so not to really offend people. But there's a lot of interesting information, a lot of interesting things I have to say that if I don't say them just right, it will offend a lot of people. But I know what I want to say. So I should be able to easily crank out 500 words an hour. Figure I go to bed about 10:30, 11. It's 3 o'clock. I will be home. I'll be home at 3:15. Wait, no, it's 3:15 now. I will be home at 3:30. So, and I have a coffee roaster demonstration at 4 o'clock that I need to attend. So, I mean, even if I get started writing, don't get started writing until 5, you know, should be fine. And I might get some coffee roasted in the process. It's one of the reasons I'm going to the demonstration is I'm going to take some coffee with me. So try these beans. Anyway, so that's all fine and well. All is well. Things are going along good. I still don't exactly know where I'm going with this book. But, you know, it'll all work out. It all works out. It's amazing. It all works out. So, this week, I had heard about this topic, a month ago, and I didn't really think much of anything of it. I went, oh, that's kind of interesting, and I just went on. It seemed a little silly to me at the time, but I thought, well, whatever, you know, fine. Then I found this article. The name of the article was Seriously, The Guy Has a Point. This was by Greg Follis. It was posted on April 14th, 2017. And then I started reading about it and I went, that is very interesting. So you may have heard, well, first of all, you may know that down in the Wall Street District, there is a spot where there is this sculpture of a charging bull. It's big. It's a beautiful sculpture. When Nett and I were in New York, we were kicking around and, you know, I wasn't even thinking that we were heading that direction, but we ended up and we just kind of stumbled on it. Well, hey, there's the charging bull. So I didn't have any idea what the backstory was on it. I just assumed that it was some kind of commissioned work that was, you know, meant to be put there by Wall Street, kind of as advertising of, look how strong we are, you know, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, so, just recently, He says this was 5 weeks ago and this article was last week. So a month and a half ago, a new statue appeared in front of the Charging Bull. And the new statue is called Fearless Girl. And so it's a statue of a little girl, and I guess her hair is kind of, you know, she's got a ponytail and it's kind of flipping around in the breeze, and she's wearing a little dress, and she's standing in a defiant pose, and her dress is kind of being blown up and back. I thought it was a cape when I first looked at it one time. I thought, is she wearing a cape? Or I remembered it that there was some cloth back there, and I thought, what, is this like a Superman pose? Because she's kind of in a, you know, Superman pose. She's got her, and she's looking defiantly ahead, you know, in the face of the Charging Bull. So this little statue appears, and it appears in conjunction with a Women's Day or International Women's March or something. And so everyone's looking at this and saying, well, this is so great, you know, because this shows the perseverance and courage of women, you know. Okay, fine. So the author of this article started reading a little bit more, and the more he read about the background on this, he made the mistake of not towing the party line and saying that this little statue was the greatest thing ever. Because the sculptor of the original statue, the sculptor who created the Charging Bull, he really wants Fearless Girl removed. And I mean, people are just really coming down hard on him for how dare he, you know, blah, 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 blah. The kind of standard line is that men who don't like women taking up space are exactly why we need Fearless Girl. So Fearless Girl becomes this symbol then for standing against male oppression, standing against male patriarchy, and not bowing down. Okay, all right. Except in this context, there's some really interesting overtones over it. And he doesn't go into that so much in the article as he does looking at the historical context of the Charging Bull, and even that has some interesting overtones on it. So we'll first talk about the interesting overtones of the Charging Bull and what's really going on with the Fearless Girl statue. Okay? So the Charging Bull statue, here's what's really fascinating about it. That statue isn't what you think. It's easy to come to quick conclusions about what that statue is. But what the author says is back in 1978, there was a global stock market crash. He said it doesn't really matter why to this discussion, but stocks everywhere tanked. He said, Arturo de Modica, a Sicilian immigrant who became a naturalized citizen of the United States, responded by creating Charging Bull, a sculpture of a charging bull. It took him 2 years to make it. It weighs more than 7,000 pounds, and it cost de Modica $350,000 of his own money. Okay, he said he wanted the bull to represent the strength and power of the American people. He, himself, by himself, had it trucked into the financial district and set it up completely without permission. It's maybe the only significant work of guerrilla capitalist art in existence. Said the people loved it. Those who ran the New York Stock Exchange did not. One moment, I'm getting my mail. He said they called the police, and he said pretty soon the statue was removed and impounded. Okay, so, ooh. My new shoes came. just getting all kinds of fun stuff. I used to wear Vibram Five Fingers shoes. And then someone figured out that running barefoot wasn't as good for you as regular. And I knew if I wore them, I was just going to get a lot of, well, you know, if it's not as good as running, I just quit wearing them at that point. But Vibram has come out with these new Japanese wrap shoe things that are just gonzo cool. I mean, they are just as cool as can be. At least I hope they are. They look really cool in all the pictures and videos. So I ordered myself a pair of those and they just came in. Yay. Anyways. So spends $35,000 of his own money, pays to have it trucked down there, set up New York Stock Exchange, hates it. You know, they call the police, they haul it off. People get mad because it's a cool statue. So the city temporarily agreed to reinstall it. The public was pleased. That's 30 years ago. Said, and Charging Bull is still owned by Demotica, and it's still on loan from him. So this is his statue. Okay, so it's on temporary loan to the city, one of the most recognizable symbols of New York City. I'm backing into my garage one moment. Okay, so that's the background on the Charging Bull statue. Okay. Now then, on March 7th of this year, the day before the International Women's Day, Fearless Girl appeared standing in front of Charging Bull. On the surface, it appears to be another work of guerrilla art. Said, but it's not. Unlike Demotica's work, Fearless Girl was commissioned not by an individual, but by an investment fund called State Street Global Advisors, which has assets in excess of $2.4 trillion. $2.4 trillion. He says that's serious money. Okay, so it was commissioned as part of an advertising campaign developed by McCann, the Global Advertising Corporation. And it was commissioned to be presented on the first anniversary of State Street's Global Gender Diversity Index Fund, which has the following NASDAQ ticker symbol, SHE, capital H, capital S, capital H, capital E. Okay. And finally, along with Fearless Girl, is a bronze plaque that reads, "Know the power of women in leadership. She makes a difference." Now, she is all capitalized. So when it says she makes a difference, they're really talking about the fund. They're not talking about women. And I will just guarantee you that this fund is principally run by men. And I will guarantee you that this company, State Street Global Advisors, is primarily run by men. And I would have to do some research, but I would just venture a guess, giving the odds, that McCann, a global advertising corporation, is primarily run by men. So what we'd have here is not someone who's trying to make a statement of guerrilla art and has created this really cool little statue of this girl standing in front of this Charging Bull. But in fact, we have an advertising campaign, a very clever advertising campaign that is meant to lure in people to be aware of their global diversity fund so that they can sell more shares. That's why they've done it. And you can say, well, no, they just did it to celebrate women. If they did it to celebrate women, there would have been a bunch of differences in this statute. We'll get to that in a moment. If they did it to celebrate women, they wouldn't have put "she" in all caps so that it represented their fund. Okay, so that's what's going on. Now then, he said, it's not a work of guerrilla art. It is an extremely clever advertising scheme. This is what makes it clever. Fearless Girl derives its power almost entirely from Demotica's statue. The sculptor, Christian Visbal, sort of acknowledged this. She said about her statue, she's not angry at the bull. She's confident. She knows what she's capable of, and she's wanting the bull to take note. Okay. It's all about the bull. If it were placed anywhere else, Fearless Girl would still be a very fine statue, but without facing Charging Bull, the Fearless Girl has nothing to be fearless about. Fearless to or about. whatever. A fearless girl without Demotica's bull, without the context provided by the bull, becomes really confident girl. Fearless girl also, this I'm just reading from the article because there's some interesting stuff here. Fearless girl also changes the meaning of charging bull. Instead of charging bull being a symbol of the strength and the power of the American people, as Demotica intended, is now seen as an aggressive threat to women and girls, a symbol of patriarchal oppression. In effect, fearless girl has appropriated the strength and power of charging bull. And of course, Demotica is outraged by that. A global investment firm has used a global advertising firm, probably all run by men, to create a faux work of guerrilla art to subvert and change the meaning of his actual work of guerrilla art, and that would make any artist mad. Okay, so it's not as simple as you would seem. And it's interesting because he goes on to say that he loves the little statue in the Peter Pan pose. He resents that she's a marketing tool. I love that she actually is inspiring to young women and girls. I resent that she's a fraud. I love that she exists, and I resent the reasons that she's created. He said, I love it, and I fear it. She's an example of how commercialization can take something important and meaningful, something about which everyone should agree, and blankety blank, all over it by turning it into a commodity. Fearless girl is beautiful, but she is selling she. That's why she's there. So she's a shill for a global investment firm. That's all she is, in truth. You know, so what's interesting is this. What I find fascinating about this is this image of a little girl in her little dress standing in front of a bull, and the fact that we are supposed to be inspired by this. I find that fascinating. I think I understand the mechanisms of why some are fascinated or are inspired by it. I personally am not inspired by it. All I see when I look at that composition is a little girl who thinks far more highly of herself than she should, because that bull doesn't give two whits about the fact that she's standing there in her little defiant pose. I can tell you what happens in the next 2 or 3 seconds. That bull hits her with its horns because it sees her flapping little skirt, and he goes after her and he gores her and he tosses her into the air, and that's the end of her. So you can say, well, it's the symbology of it. It's the symbology of it. Okay, well, all right. Why, if we are trying to honor women, do we take a symbol of a little girl? Because women are not, or they shouldn't be, little girls. I think the reason that we take that symbology and we get so, quote-unquote, inspired by it is because for little girls, there is a time in their life when there's a certain fearlessness to them. And I think women remember back fondly to those times when there was a fearlessness about them. And so the symbol of a fearless little girl does inspire confidence. But you don't want to be confident in the face of certain death. That's not confidence. That's foolishness. No man, normal man, would stand there in a defiant pose in front of a charging bull. They would run. Okay, now you say, well, so-and-so, yeah, we'll get to that in just a second. Well, no normal man, because they would recognize the threat. So to honor and celebrate something as inspiring, when in fact it is completely ignorant of the obvious threat, is not inspiring to me. I tell you what would have been much more inspiring to me, and in my male opinion, much more honorable to women, would have been to have an older woman in a matador costume with the cape in front of her, not her dress blowing behind her like a cape, but the cape in front of her, staring down the bull. Because now you have an image of a woman, a mature woman, who has gained skills in her life such that she can face the obvious threat and she will persevere. To me, that's a much more inspiring symbol than having a little girl think she knows what she's doing and think she can stare down a bull just by putting her hands on her hip and trying to look cute. Because that just leads to disaster. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.